Roger that, Mike, November Tango. Your code 41 acknowledged. P Division, code 41. P Division, code 41.
The Good Thief by Donald Campbell, based on characters created by Peter Turnbull. The Good Thief.
Sorry to drag you away from your meeting.
That's all right, Ray. The Architectural Society was a bit of a washout, frankly. The guest speakers had most of the members to sleep. Anyway, what have we got here?
Marjorie Mellister. I take it you know who she is.
Oh, yes. Television personality. Celebrity, just what we needed.
Doesn't get any better, I'm afraid, sir. Miss Mellers was getting this flat with Gregor Stoddart.
The MP?
That's right, sir. He's in London just now, but we've made arrangements for him to be in prom.
Well, we'll be seeing him tomorrow, then.
Aye. We're going to get a lot of press attention on this one, sir.
Oh, tell me about it. Anyway, what happened?
Well, the report came in at 9:02. Annabelle Niven, she's Miss Miller's neighbour and also a business partner, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Heard the shots and found the body.
Any other witnesses?
The downstairs neighbour and Mr. Weir heard the shots too. We're getting statements from both of them now.
She was my friend, you see. Not just my business partner. But she was my friend.
Yes, yes, I know. But it really is most important that you tell me everything you can remember. We could leave it till later.
Oh, no. I'd rather get it over with, please.
That would be best.
Well, I'd just taken a bath, and I was making myself some chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this noise, 3 sharp reports. Bang, 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 coming from the upstairs landing.
Yes.
I mean, the last thing I thought of was gunshots. I thought somebody was trying to break Margie's door down. I didn't know she was in, you see.
And after you heard the shots, what did you do?
I went out to investigate, of course. Just before I reached the door, though, I heard some steps running down the stair. Oh,
steps? What kind of steps?
Just ordinary steps. A man's steps. Definitely a man's. Moving very quickly, like the postman does when he's finished his deliveries and he's leaving the stairs.
I see. And what then?
Well, I went upstairs to Margie's flat. The door was wide open and I was sure that what I heard must have been somebody breaking in. Mr. Weir downstairs, he'd come out of his flat by this time, so I turned and shouted at him to call the police. Then...
Steady now. Steady. Take your time.
I found Margie and I went back out onto the stair and shouted to Mr. Weir to call an ambulance. But then, of course, it was too late. Oh, I never thought. I didn't think she was in, you see. I was sure she wasn't in.
What makes you say that, Miss Niven?
Well, I was expecting her here, of course. When Gregor's not at home, she always pops in on her way up for a glass of wine and a chat, you know.
Gregor, that's her boyfriend?
That's right, Gregor Stoddart, the MP. Of course, he's at Westminster during the week.
I see. Well, that's about it for now. Except, you don't happen to know anything about your friend's movements tonight, do you?
Yes, I do. I can tell you exactly. She left the office at 5 for a meeting with her publisher.
Mm-hmm.
After that, she'd arranged to have a drink with Joyce at the Glasgow Bistro.
Joyce?
Joyce Stoddart, Gregor's ex. Well, soon to be ex, anyway. The divorce isn't through yet.
She was having a drink with her boyfriend's wife.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's all quite amicable. Joyce and Margie have been friends for years.
And this meeting, do you have any idea what it was about?
No. I expect you'll have to ask Joyce about that.
And this squares with your findings, Dr. Reynolds.
I would say so. This unfortunate young woman's been dead less than 2 hours. There's very little I can tell you beyond that at this stage. Mind you, I doubt if a post-mortem will give us much more. However, there are a couple of things that should interest you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you saw, she was shot at very close range. From the position of the body, my opinion would be that the first fatal wound was to the head. Whoever did this probably grabbed her by the hair and shot her through the temple, let her fall, then put another 2 shots into her chest in the area of the heart.
Mm. Obviously, he was taking no prisoners. None whatsoever.
Weir, James Douglas Grant.
And your occupation, Mr. Weir?
Late of the Highland Light Infantry. Major, retired.
Oh, what is it? Major Weir, then?
If you like. I don't insist on it, though. Not been on the active list since before you were born, young man.
Right then, Major. What can you tell me about last night?
Not much, I'm afraid. I was sitting here, reading. Heard 3 shots. Small bore, .22, I'd say. Then a man steps running down the stairs. Decentish shoes.
How do you know that?
Well, I don't, really. Not for sure. But when you live in these flats as long as I have, you learn to recognize the different sounds people make on the stair.
So you recognize the footsteps?
No, I didn't say that. He was a stranger, I think. But he wasn't wearing boots or trainers. What do you call them? These Doc Martin things. Anyway, from the sound, I'd say he was wearing decent leather shoes.
Very observant of you, Major.
Training, my boy. Anyway, as soon as I heard the shots, I went to the window.
The window?
Yes. At my age, you see, I don't move too quickly. I knew he'd be outside before I reached the stair. Thought I might catch sight of him as he left the building.
And did you?
Oh, yes. Just a glimpse, mind you.
Would you know him if you saw him again?
No, afraid not. Had his back to me, you see. Can't tell you much. He was wearing a camel coat, though. I did see that much.
A camel coat?
That's right. One of those posh jobs business types wear. Must be thousands of them in this city. Not much to go on, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, at least it's something. So what did you do then, sir?
Went out onto the stair. Found young Annabelle, Miss Niven, screaming her head off. Phoned your lot.
I see. Well, thanks very much, Major Weir. You've been very helpful. Tell me, did you know Miss Mellor as well?
No, not really. Just a neighbour. You know, it's such a shame. Dreadful. She was a lovely girl. Full of life. Damn good at her job, too, I'd say. Though I'm not sure I approved of her taste in men.
Mr. Stoddart, you mean?
That's right. What she saw in him beats me. Old enough to be her father. And a politician to boot. Never could stand the breed. Good God. The fellow jingles his change.
Jingles his change?
Yes. Take a tip from an old soldier, my boy. Never trust a man who jingles the change in his pocket when he's talking to you. 9 times out of 10, he can't be trusted.
This is where he commenced, sir.
Uh-huh.
See, the window's been slit down the sides clean as a whistle. Put it out with a glazier suction pad, I reckon.
Mm. You think so? Professional job, then.
Wouldn't doubt it, sir.
I don't get this, Ray. I just don't get it. Someone who's taken the trouble to climb 3 stories and take out a window as neatly as that. Well, he isn't going to take the chance of being caught in the act, is he?
No, sir. He'd case the place thoroughly, and this kind of work, well, a professional wouldn't carry a gun.
No, we can't be sure of that, of course.
No, sir. Well, probably not.
What do you mean, probably? Do you have somebody in mind for this?
Well, sir, if it wasn't for the killing and another small detail, I'd put good money on who's responsible for this break.
What do you mean you recognise the M.O.?
Oh, yes, got all the trademarks. The window in particular, it's the dead giveaway. It's Simpson, sir. A certain Joseph Mackay Simpson of this very parish.
Are you sure about this?
Positive. Except for the killing, as I say. Joe's got no history of violence.
Oh, well, there's a first time for everything, Ray. Right, we'd better pick him up as soon as possible. Have a word with him about his whereabouts this evening.
Oh, that won't be difficult, sir, but I did say there was another wee detail, so it might be a bit complicated.
What's that?
Well, as far as I know, sir, Joe Simpson's in jail. He's finishing off 7 years in Drumlane.
Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm.
Where was it?
Do you love me, Malcolm?
Oh. Oh, Polly, for God's sake. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. What the hell are you talking about?
Malcolm, I asked you if you loved me. That's not a silly question, surely. Do you love me?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Say it properly.
Oh, Polly, listen, I'm on early shift tomorrow. I'll look like a panda if I don't get some sleep.
Malcolm, say it.
Okay, okay. Pauline, I love you. I really and truly love you. Cross my heart and hope to die.
Malcolm.
Now, if you don't mind, I'd really like to get some sleep. And it's 2 eggs with a bacon. Unless you happen to have some sausages.
The death has occurred in circumstances which suggest foul play of the well-known television broadcaster and journalist Margie Mellors. Police were called last night to Miss Mellors' Glasgow flat, where her body was discovered by her friend and business partner, Annabel.
Montgomery! Hey, Malcolm!
Morning, Richard.
Have you heard the news?
Margie Mellors, you mean? Yeah, I heard it on the way in.
You knew her, didn't you?
That's right, when I was a student. She was in my year at university.
You must be feeling a bit rough. I'm really sorry, Malcolm.
That's okay, you can relax. I didn't know her that well, to tell you the truth.
Several lines of inquiry have been followed. In particular, we would like to speak to a man who was seen leaving the apartment building at approximately 9 o'clock last night. This man is described as being of medium height, wearing a camel overcoat. We appeal to this man, or anyone who saw him or knows anything about him, to come forward in order that he can be eliminated from our inquiries. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's all.
You have a suspect. Yes,
thank you.
Have you found the
weapon?
What was Margie wearing at the time? Have you any idea of the motive? From the back
room?
Did she get much jewelry?
I said that is all, ladies and gentlemen.
What have you done now? So, how well did you know her, eh?
Margie. Oh, not very well. She was the editor of the student newspaper for a while. We had one or two mutual friends.
She wasn't one of your old flames, then?
She wasn't really into boyfriends. You couldn't just casually suggest a date. Now, who's about the GFT on Friday or whatever? Not with her. No, you needed a hell of a lot more than good looks and a striking personality to get anywhere with Ms. Mellor.
Well, that was certainly rule you out.
Oh, very funny. Now, the only men that interested Margie were the ones who might do her some good. She was a really determined young lady. A real go-getter.
A gold digger, you mean?
Well, you can put it like that if you want. But it's not so much the money, though. She was certainly ambitious, and she made no secret about it. So when she eventually wound up on the telly, nobody was surprised.
Did you know the boyfriend, Gregor Stoddart?
Nah. I somehow don't think she met him at university.
There's quite a difference in ages there, isn't there?
Well, he must have had something. Otherwise, like I say, Margie just wouldn't have been interested.
Good morning, Mr. Stoddart. I'm Detective Inspector Donoghue. This is D.S. Sussex.
Pleased to meet you, sir. Sorry for your trouble.
Thank you, Sergeant. And thank you very much for coming in, Mr. Stoddart.
Well, to be honest, Inspector, I'd rather speak to you here than at the flat.
Yes, I can understand that, sir. However, what I don't quite understand is why you felt you had to bring a lawyer.
I'm not here as a lawyer, Inspector. Just as a friend. This has been a great shock for all of Margie's friends, but Gregor is obviously quite shattered by her death. I'm here to lend moral support, that's all. But if you'd rather I left...
No, Mr. Murray, that's quite all right. Stay, if you like.
Inspector, is there anything you can tell me about this? I've heard nothing except what's been in the media. Have there been any developments? Is there any information as to who might have done this?
No, I'm afraid not, sir. As a matter of fact, we're rather hoping that you might be able to help us.
I'll do anything I can, Inspector. Now, sir, what is it you want to know?
Well, sir, about the burglary. Have you been able to establish if anything's missing from the flat?
Yes, Inspector. I'm afraid there is. A rather valuable painting seems to have disappeared. It's a crawl. Girl Among the Geese, it's called.
Crawl?
Yes, Joseph Crawhall. He's one of the Glasgow boys.
That's a school of painters, Inspector. They flourished in Glasgow around the turn of the century.
Yes, Mr. Murray, I've heard of the Glasgow boys.
Mr. Stoddart, do you mind if I ask what size this painting is?
Actually, it's not very large. I don't know the exact dimensions, but it's about 3 feet high, 2 feet across.
And its value? Is it insured?
Well, in monetary terms, it's not hugely valuable. I had it insured for £2,000, I think. And that was quite a few years ago. Its sentimental value is a different matter entirely.
Oh?
Yes, sir. I bought it over 30 years ago with the first real money I ever made.
I see. And how many people knew that you had this painting in your possession?
Oh, lots. I wouldn't have dreamt of putting it away in a bank vault or anything like that. So it was always on show. I was very proud of it, you see.
Trouble is, a case like this puts the whole force under the microscope. There's going to be a lot of pressure on us to get a quick result, so let's not waste any time. Now, so far, we have evidence of a break-in and a witness who saw a man leaving the apartment building, and Ray Sussex following up the break-in. Now, what I want from you two is a complete rundown on the background of Miss Mellors and her movements last night. Check out the office, Richard. It's called Mardbell Productions, and it's an address in Byers Road.
Right, sir. It'll be open this morning.
Yes. Annabel Niven, the partner, will be there. She's expecting you. Go through Miss Miller's desk, her diary, correspondence, the lot. Let's see if she's stood on anybody's toes. Montgomery?
Yes, sir.
I want you to talk to Mrs. Stoddart.
The wife?
That's right. She runs some sort of design business in Bath Street. She and Margie apparently met for a drink last night.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. She might well have been the last person to see Margie alive. Find out what they talked about and what they were both doing afterwards.
I will do, sir.
Also, there was something else you might do.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. How are your connections in the art world, Montgomery?
Not great. I know one or two people, though.
Mm-hmm. I thought you might. See what you can find out about a painting called Girl Among Geese. It's by a Glasgow artist called Joseph Crawhall.
Right, sir. Actually, as it happens, I think I know the very man.
Mm-hmm.
And I might be able to get something else out of him.
Oh, yes? How's that?
Well, the man I'm thinking of, sir, George Lawson's his name. He runs an art gallery in Stocky Old Street. He used to share a flat with Margie Mellors.
Did he indeed? Well. This great city of ours never fails to surprise me. Can often seem a very small place.
Sometimes, sir. Still, you never know. George might give us some useful background.
Mm-hmm. Well, see what you can find out anyway. Right. Off you go with the period.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Case conference at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, yes, sir.
You've finished at Craigton, then?
Mm-hmm. Just a bit. One or two wee jobs to be done. Mainly the lighting. Davy's finishing off there just now.
Good. And you'll make a start at Bear's Den in the morning. She's been on the phone again. Wants to make sure she's in.
I'll be there first thing, tell her.
Excuse me, Mrs. Stoddart? Mrs. Joyce Stoddart?
Yes, that's me. What can I do for you?
Police, Mrs. Stoddart?
Oh, yes, of course. It's about Margie. I've been expecting you, Mr...
Montgomery. Detective Constable Montgomery.
Please do come in and sit down, Mr. Montgomery.
Thank you.
Do you want me to stay?
Oh, no, Alistair. This has nothing to do with you. But this is my site foreman, Mr. Montgomery. Alistair Graham.
Mr. Graham, hmm?
I don't know what to do without him. My strong right arm. It's all right, Alistair. I don't need you just now. So you better get away and measure up Mrs. Murdoch's kitchen.
If you're sure...
Of course I'm sure. What would this nice policeman want with you? Alistair, don't hang around. On you go.
Right then. If there's nothing else,
I'll get on my way.
Nice meeting you, Mr. Graham.
Oh, aye. Likewise.
Did I say something?
Oh, don't be offended, Mr. Montgomery. He's like that with everybody, I'm afraid. I have to keep jollying him along. Well, he'd put me into a depression. He's a first-class workman, though. And you can't have everything.
That's okay. I just wondered what I'd said.
You'll be used to it, I suppose, though.
Used to what?
Well, people aren't always exactly civil to the police, are they?
No, they're certainly not. Anyway, Mrs. Stoddart, if I can get on, I have a few questions I'd like to ask you about last night.
Oh, God. Poor Margie. It's a shocking business. I really can't believe it. Gregor must be devastated.
I understand you had a meeting with Miss Mellard last night.
That's right. We met for a couple of spritzers at the Clifford.
And what time would that be?
Oh, 8-ish? 10 to 8, something like that. We weren't together long. We left the pub at 8:30. I remember particularly because Margie seemed to be in a hurry.
Yes. Why was that?
I really don't know. When she noticed the time, she seemed anxious to get away.
I see. And afterwards, did you go straight home?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no. No chance. There was a staff party last night.
A party?
Well, a dinner, really. You see, the business, we design and fit kitchens and bathrooms to order, has had a very good year. So I decided to treat the workforce to a night out. We went to a restaurant called The Penguin. It's in Byers Road.
Yes, I know the place. And you were there for how long?
Oh, hours. I didn't get home till well after midnight.
I see. Can we go back to this meeting with Miss Mellors? Who arranged it?
Margie did. She phoned me up yesterday afternoon. I suggested we have a chat.
Really? And why was that?
Is it important?
It might be.
Suppose I was to tell you it was simply a matter of two friends meeting for a drink.
Well, that would strike me as a little odd, given your domestic arrangements.
Domestic arrangements? You mean the fact that Margie was sleeping with my husband?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite like that.
No, I don't suppose you would. And if you did, you'd be drawing quite the wrong conclusion. You see, Mr. Montgomery, it wasn't like that. It wasn't at all like that. Gregor and I haven't had a real marriage for a long time. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I think so.
We'd had divorced years ago, only it didn't seem to be much point. And then along came Margie. I was quite happy to let him go.
So what was the problem? This meeting you had with Miss Mellors.
Did I say there was a problem?
Was there?
Well, yes. There was a matter of community property, the division of spoils, you might say. Gregor and I couldn't agree, and Margie wanted to negotiate. So, that's what our meeting was about last night.
I see. And this negotiation, was it successful?
Now that, Mr. Montgomery, is definitely none of your business.
Yeah, Mrs. Stoddart, this interview is part of a murder investigation, and you're not in a position to say what is or isn't my business, all right? I won't press you on the matter now, but I may want to talk to you again.
I'm sorry. I'll be honest with you, Mr. Montgomery. I really didn't care for Margie Mellors. As far as I'm concerned, she was a chancer. And a tart, quite frankly. I think Gregor was a fool to have had anything to do with her. And if they'd been married, I'd have given them no more than 2 years at the outside. So you wouldn't expect me to grieve. I'm shocked, yes. But that's as far as it goes. I've no time for hypocrites. Still, God knows she didn't deserve to die like that. And I sincerely hope you find the person responsible. Now, is there anything else?
No. I think that's all for now, Mrs. Stoddart. Thank you very much for your time.
I mean what I say. I hope you find them.
Well, don't worry, Mrs. Stoddard. We will.
Look who it is, me. My old pal, Mr. Sissek. How are you doing, Ray?
Not a bad job. Yourself?
Yeah, can't complain. This place isn't any great shakes, but next to Bar L is a bloody holiday camp. Is that all right, George?
Behave yourself, Simpson.
See what I mean, Ray? You even got a better class of screw in this place. More polite.
Watch it, Simpson.
Relax, George. Only joking. Very touchy in here, Ray, you know. Anyway, you'd better get to it. To what do I owe the pleasure, then, eh? I take it this isn't a social call.
Hardly, Joe. I'm looking for some help with a burglary.
Aye. What burglary?
A flat in the West End was broken into last night.
Last night? Well, it wasn't me, Ray. I was in the whole evening. Curled up in front of the telly, wasn't I, George?
It looked like your handiwork, Joe.
How do you mean?
Oh, come on, you know fine what I mean. The way the window was taken out was as good as a signature. A Joe Simpson written all over it.
I didn't know. Well, it wasn't me, Ray. Sorry. Come on. It's not like I've got copyright or something, eh? Ray, I can't help you, okay?
I think you can, Joe.
Aye. How's that?
Joe, I've been in this game a long time, so don't act simple. You know fine well what I mean.
You think I've got a student, do you? An apprentice? Somebody off the ITS scheme? Oh, Christ. You pull a slimy at times, ain't you kidding?
Who was it, Joe?
I don't know. Oh, for God's sake, Mr. Sussex. And even supposing I did, what should I tell you? What good would it do me? I'm out of here next month. Finished with the whole damn business.
Oh, aye.
You bet your boots I am. Seems like police work, Ray. It's a young man's game. You just haven't noticed.
You know who did this, Joe. I'm certain of it.
No, I don't. Look, read my lips, will you? I cannot tell you. End of story.
No, it isn't, Joe. And you know me better than that.
Listen, Ray. I'll tell you this much. The guy you're looking for is a cut above the normal run of smash-and-grab merchants you get these days. If he copied me, the man had style. That's all I can tell you.
He also had a handgun.
What?
The owner of the flat, a young woman, Joe, surprised him at his work, and he shot her. 3 times.
You're not serious.
Never more so. This is murder we're talking about, Joe.
Jesus. Is that that case that was on the telly, that Margie Mellers?
Margie Mellers.
Now, that is out of order. That is really out of order.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah, you're dead right it is, but that's not what I meant as it happens. I mean, you thought this guy was me, Ray. You had the nerve to come in here and suggest that this job might have had something to do with me. Good God, Sussex, what's the matter with you? You want your teeth examined, I'm telling you.
Simpson,
aye, right.
Now you listen to me, Joe.
No, you listen to me. I've been a thief all my days, I'll no deny it. But there's 2 things I've never done. I've never stolen off of anybody that couldn't afford it, and I've never, nor ever, so much as laid a finger on anybody in my life. Now you know that, Ray, and all the police know that.
Aye, and you know that we have to check into everything. This is a murder inquiry, Joe. We'll no stop till we get to the bottom of it. We're going to nail this guy in the end. You can depend on that.
Aye. Likely you will.
So, are you going to help me or are you not?
Yeah, I don't know. Where is this drum?
Monroe Terrace, off Great Western Road.
Aye. I know where you are. How high?
3rd floor. Came in the back.
Oh, that's a bitch. I screwed a drum there myself 20 years ago. It was murder.
So was this.
Aye, right. Do us a favour with a joke, Sissek. I'm trying to think here.
Sorry, Joe.
What was he after? What did he nick?
He got away with a valuable painting.
Painting, eh? Oh, classy. Still a sergeant, are you, Ray?
What?
It's still Detective Sergeant Sissek, is it?
Aye, it is. What about it?
See you, pal. If you'd used the brains God gave you, you'd have been Chief Bloody Inspector by this time.
Simpson, I won't tell you again. Take it easy, Joe.
Right, okay, that's it. Bid it over. Come on, George.
We're out of here.
So how does this business work, Miss Niven?
Mainly on commissions from the BBC, Channel 4 or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
We take an idea, research it, cost it, then present the whole package to the commissioning company, who usually provide the finance.
And what was Margie's part in this?
In front of the camera, mainly. She was a very accomplished broadcaster, but she also had a first-rate creative mind. Most of the programme ideas were hers. Me, I was usually left to do the donkey work.
Did you mind that?
No, not really. Though it could get a bit... sticky at times.
Sticky? How's that?
Well, Margie had such a temperament. You had to get used to that if you were going to work with her.
Right.
She thought she knew best about everything, basically. Always wanted her own way. And, oh, she'd be impossible until she got it.
Which she usually did.
Oh, yes. It would become an obsession with her.
I see. And what was her current obsession?
Well, we just finished a film called Dance of Death. It'll be going out later this year. Ironic title, isn't it?
I suppose so. What was the film about?
It was about the rave scene in the west of Scotland and the incidents of drug-related deaths. I'll get a tape for you if you like.
Yeah, if you don't mind, it might be useful.
I want to deal with some pretty dicey people for that programme. I can give you a list of contacts, too. Oh, yes, and here's a death diary. It's got a note of all our appointments.
Let's see. That's interesting.
What is it?
What are these entries for yesterday? Can you take me through them?
Oh.
645 Martin.
That's Martin Bailey, Marge's publisher. She'd written a novel, would you believe? A crime thriller.
I see. Then 745 Joyce.
Joyce Stoddart. I told your colleague about that last night.
Yeah, we know about Mrs. Stoddart. But what's this?
What?
This last entry, 8:45 p.m.
I don't know. No idea.
Are you sure? But think about it, Miss Niven. This could be very important.
You're not suggesting. No, it couldn't be, surely.
What couldn't be?
Well, there could be any number of reasons for that entry. I mean, maybe it was to remind her to do something on the way home. Or maybe she had some reason for wanting to be back by then.
You don't really believe that, do you, Miss Niven?
No, I don't. It does look very much like Margie had arranged to meet somebody.
And that time would place it shortly before her death. There was no name, but have you any idea who it might be?
No, not really. Except... Oh, no, surely not.
Yes, Miss Niven?
Look, Mr. King, there's something I think I better tell you.
He knows, Elka. I'm sure he knows.
Knows what? With a purpose?
Well, maybe not. But he knows something anyway. Joe Simpson knows something about this that he's not saying.
But there's no reason why he should, is there?
No, I suppose not, but I mean...
I mean, it was a long shot going to see him in the first place. He is the perfect alibi.
That's right. So why was he so angry about it? That's what makes me think he knows something.
Ray, do you really expect a convicted criminal to give us information without getting something in return?
As a rule, of course not. But let me tell you about this guy, Elka. He's been a professional thief for 40 years, since he was a juvenile. And he's clocked up just 4 convictions. 2 of them for reset. He fences his own gear.
Steals to order, you mean?
And that's right, as far as we can tell. What's completely alone, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's committed God only knows how many burglaries, but as I say, he's been caught just twice. The first time was when he came off the back of a hotel in George Square.
What?
Yeah, he slipped and fell. Broke both his legs so he couldn't run away. Well, that was back in the 60s. Second time was the old Paramount Cinema. Manager had left his house keys in the office. When he went back in for them, he found Joe breaking into his safe.
How did Joe react to that?
Put his hands up. No resistance. No attempt to escape. I'm telling you, Elka, this is a man that hates violence. He actually takes a pride in not being violent. When I told them that someone using his MO was involved in this case, I expected... I don't know.
Expected what, Ray?
Well, I thought he'd be angry at the perp, not at me. That's what makes me think he knows something.
What does the computer say about him?
Not a lot.
Known associates?
None. A solo turn.
Family?
No, he's been divorced. Now, there's a thought.
Martha, how's it going?
Mr. Sussock, is it? What do you want?
Well, we have pleasure to be nice.
Oh, you're welcome. But that's all you're getting.
I've no asked for anything else, have I?
Aye, but I know you both.
You wouldn't be in here if you were merely Smith or something. Well, you'll get nothing here, Sussex. This is a respectable bar.
Oh, sure. A bit quiet, though.
Busy enough for me at this time of day. You should see it at night.
Fortunate.
Aye, that just about describes it. I'm no complaining anyway.
Well, I'm glad to see you're doing well, Martha. You deserve it.
You bet I do.
So how's the family? The boys still with you?
Nah, no them.
Short the crow, eh? Well, that's the way of the world. What about the old fella?
The old fella? Simpson, you mean? Honest Joe. If that's who you're looking for, Sussex, you can forget it. I divorced him years ago.
Oh, that's right, so you did, Martha. I was forgetting.
And if I don't see that Torag for another 100 years, it'll be too soon for me. I want nothing to do with him, and neither do my boys.
Is that right, Martha?
Dead right. You're doing fine without him, thanks very much. Michael's out in Australia now. Got his own business in Melbourne.
Doing well, is he?
Very well. I'll be going out there myself in the summer. A wee holiday.
Ah, that'd be nice for you. And what about Alistair?
Oh, he's still in Glasgow. I know he was a wee bit wild for a while, but he's got a good job now.
Why? Doing what?
None of your business, Sussex. I'm no wanting you going pestering him about his favour, dragging up the past.
No, no, Martha, you get the wrong end of the stick. I'm just being sociable, that's all. I'm no interested in Joe. I mean, he's in jail, isn't he?
Is he?
Well, as far as I know, he is.
Aye. Well, if he's no, he bloody well should be. Neither me nor my boys want anything to do with him. As a matter of fact, he didn't even use his name these days.
Malcolm, nice to see you. It's been ages.
Yeah, likewise, George.
I see your name in the papers every so often. How are things in the art world, eh? How are you doing?
Oh, surviving. You know how it is. How about yourself? Still sleuthing away? Keeping the villains off the streets?
Well, there's a bit more to it than that, George. Paperwork, mostly.
Oh, I'm sure. Nobody escapes. This isn't an official visit, by the way, is it?
No, not really. I'd like your advice about something, that's all.
It's not about Margie, is it?
Yes, it is, actually. I'm afraid so.
Oh, dear. Lovely girl. I'm heartbroken, Malcolm.
Yes, I know you were very close at one time.
Close doesn't begin to describe it. We lived together for the better part of a year. When I heard the news, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Look, I don't want to upset you, George, but I really think you might be able to help me here.
If I can, of course.
What do you want to know? Well, you can tell me about a painting for a start.
A painting?
It's The Girl Among Geese by Joseph Crawhall. Do you know it?
I don't think I've ever seen it, but I know of it, of course. Crawhall was one of the Glasgow boys, though he wasn't a native Scot. Came from Geordieland, I think. There's a lot of his work in the Barrel. A good painter. Good watercolorist. Very collectible.
So, this painting would be worth a fair bit?
Oh, yes.
How much? Roughly.
Difficult to say. Let's put it like this. If you sold a Crawhall, you wouldn't be able to retire for life. But you could certainly afford a few weeks off. And maybe a luxury cruise.
What, a few thousand then?
5 or 6, I suppose. Something of that order. What's the Crawhall got to do with this? With Margie's death, Malcolm?
Well, it was stolen from the flat. Apparently it belonged to Gregor Stoddart.
Stoddart owned a Crawhall?
Does that surprise you?
Oh, I suppose not. Stoddart's full of surprises.
What makes you say that, George?
Perhaps I shouldn't. I mean, I don't really know the man.
George.
And I'm not really in a position to be objective about him, am I?
This is all off the record, George. Nobody's going to quote you. Just two old mates having a chat.
All right. Like I say, I don't really know Gregor Stoddart. His wife, Joyce, she's the art lover. I know her much better. She buys a fair bit from me. Other galleries as well. And knows what she's doing. Anyway, their marriage has been a sham for years. That's common knowledge. But when Margie appeared on the scene, well, that was a surprise.
The difference in their ages, you mean?
Not exactly. Knowing Margie and how lively she always was, that might seem a bit odd. But that sort of relationship's more common than you might think.
Why the surprise, then?
Well, I'm not sure how to put this, and I honestly can't say for definite. Let's say we're talking about an impression based on a rumour grounded in speculation.
George, will you get to the point? What's the big surprise about Margie and Stoddart?
Right then. It's just that Gregor Stoddart never really struck me as a ladies' man, if you take my meaning.
Right. Let's kick this around a bit, eh? On the face of it, what we have is a murder committed during the commission of a burglary. Margie Mellors returns home to find an intruder who shoots her and makes his escape. Any comments?
Well, sir, I don't think I'd buy that scenario.
Why not, Ray?
Well, this burglary was a professional job, no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the testimony we have from the neighbour, Major Weir, doesn't square with that. The man that was seen running from the Locust was wearing good leather shoes and a camel coat.
Mm. It's not exactly your standard housebreaking gear, is it?
No, I wouldn't think so. Then there's his method of entry. At 3 stories up, he'd have to do some climbing, possibly up from the ground, but more likely down from the roof.
Mm.
Either way, he would have needed a line of some kind. Now, if the supposition is that he was surprised during the burglary, shot Miss Mellors, then he made his escape down the stairs...
Well, you would have expected him to leave something behind him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yet nothing was found.
Mm-hmm. So where does this take us?
I think we're dealing with 2 perpetrators here, sir. The burglar and the killer.
You think the burglary was committed separately from the murder?
That's right. Possibly sometime before.
And completely unrelated, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the motive for the murder? Well, excuse me a bit. O'Donoghue? Yes? Oh, yes. When was this? Oh, I see. Oh, yes, we're interested, all right. Yes, yes, thank you for letting us know. Well, well, Ray. There's a thing.
What's that, sir?
Joe Simpson. He's broken out of Drum Lane.
Right, come here, you.
Dad!
Sit down, shut up. I want to talk to you.
What? What are you doing here? You should be in the jail.
Never mind about that. You've been thieving again, haven't you, you wee swine?
No, Dad, not honest.
You screwed that lassie's drum in Monroe Terrace. You got on the roof, climbed down and took the windy out, just like I taught you, you wee rat bag.
Dad, listen to me. I can explain it. Explain.
How are you going to explain murder, Ali? That lassie's dead, and you were there.
I never murdered anybody, I swear to God. Dad, look, that had nothing to do with me.
Aye. You tried telling the police that. They've got you doomed for it.
No, they've no. They can't pin that on me.
Oh, no? And how could they know, smart ass, eh?
Because I was in and out there long before the murder went down. And I can prove it.
Aye. How's that?
Because they know when she was shot. And at the time of the shooting, I was nowhere near the place. I was sitting in a pub. I was in the Penguin in Byers Road. Aye, and I've got at least 6 witnesses to prove it.
Oh, well, bully for you. But what were you doing thieving in the first place? You promised me you were going straight, you useless dick.
And I kept my promise, Dad. I did.
You got on keeping your promise. I thought you had a decent job.
You got off. And I wasn't thieving. You've got to believe me.
Sure. So what about this picture, then?
That was the thing.
Is that what you're going to tell the police?
Are you Marxist new? Is that it? But, Dad, that painting didn't belong to them.
But what are you saying?
I'm telling you, Dad. That MP, that guy stole it. He stole it. I just broke into the flat to get it back for the rightful owner.
Sir, it strikes me that this could have been a crime of passion.
Oh, yes, I'm inclined to agree, Richard. From the state of the body, whoever shot Miss Mellors had more in mind than a simple getaway, which fits in with Ray's theory.
It also suggests that Margie knew her murderer,
mm-hmm.
or at least had dealings with him.
Yeah, well, we've got something on that, sir. The last entry in her desk diary.
Yes, 8:45 p.m. Certainly looks as if she had somebody to see just before she died.
Excuse me, sir. Do you mind if I take a look?
By all means, Montgomery.
You know, that's funny.
What is?
Well, it might be nothing, sir, but all these times, 6:15, 7:45,
mm-hmm.
they're all just numbers, no AM or PM, except the last, 8:45 PM.
So?
Well, sir, is it possible that the PM doesn't actually stand for post-meridian, that it might be something else?
Oh dear, you mean a name, somebody's initials, PM.
Perhaps.
Does that ring any bells with you, Richard?
No, sir. But, well, the thought occurs to me that might have been a new contact. Maybe one she wanted to keep secret. According to Annabel Niven, Margie had shown some interest in making a programme of an outing.
Outing? What's that?
It's to do with the gay community, sir. Apparently quite a number of public figures are closet gays, and the idea is to make them admit their sexual preference, unmask them, as it were.
That could be a very tricky business.
Well, that's what Miss Niven thought. She was against the whole idea.
Why that?
On moral grounds, partly, sir. She feels that people have a right to their privacy.
Quite. Although that's a strange outlook for a journalist, I'd say.
Yes. Well, she also thought it wouldn't make for interesting viewing, which I suppose tells you why Margie had all the bright ideas. Anyway, she tried to talk her out of it.
Unsuccessfully, I presume.
She thinks that's possible. Margie Mellor's very much liked to get her own way, and according to Miss Niven, she had a contact who was ready to supply her with all the dirt she needed.
Sir, I'm not sure where this is leading. Are we saying she was murdered by a closet gay?
Will you find that unreasonable, Montgomery?
No, I suppose not. I'm just trying to make a connection.
Yes? What is it, WPC Williams?
Sorry for interrupting, sir, but I thought you'd like to know. Joe Simpson's just arrived at the front desk to give himself up.
What?
He's brought his son with him, a young man who now calls himself Alistair Graham.
Oh, Graham, of course.
He's ready to make a full confession regarding the burglary at Monroe Terrace.
Ah, Mr. Montgomery. What a nice surprise.
I'm afraid not, Mrs. Stoddart. This is WPC Willems, and this is a warrant to search the house.
I don't understand.
We have reason to believe there is stolen property on these premises.
Stolen property? I don't think so. Miss.
We have Alistair Graham in custody, Mrs. Stoddart. He's told us everything.
It'll save you a great deal of inconvenience if you simply give the painting up.
Painting? No. What painting would that be?
Mrs. Stoddart, don't play games with us. You know perfectly well. It's Girl Among Geese by Joseph Crawhall, which I believe you have in your possession.
That's true. It certainly is in my possession, but I can assure you it's not stolen. Unless they change the law, you can't steal your own property, and that painting's mine.
Mrs. Stoddart,
no,
please.
I bought that painting with my own money 30 years ago when I was young and in love. Fergus forgotten that, of course. It suits him to forget. But that doesn't alter the fact.
Mrs. Stoddart, that may well be the case, but your marital affairs aren't really our concern.
What did you say your name was again?
Willems. W.P.C. Willems. Now,
well,
if you...
Let me ask you something, Miss W.P.C. Willems. Suppose you've been married to a man for 30 years, the best years of your life. Put up with his peccadillos, his philanderings with women, men, little boys,
that this
and
really
then after all this time, he not only throws you over for some little tart, but steals. Steals, Miss Willems, your most precious possession.
All right, Mrs. Stoddart, that's enough.
What would you do, Miss Willems, eh?
I said that's
well,
enough.
Well, I wasn't about to let him get away with that, I can assure you.
Joyce Stoddart, I'm arresting you for conspiracy to commit robbery.
That painting is mine!
I must warn you that anything you say will be taken down and maybe used in evidence. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Do you think I'm stupid?
Look, are you going to hand over the painting or do we have to pull the house apart?
Oh, all right. Just a minute.
You go in, Elka. I'll follow you.
Right, old Malcolm. It's in here. I didn't even have time to rehang it. Here. Take the damn thing.
Thank you.
This doesn't change anything, you know. That painting still belongs to me.
Why did you try to steal it, Mrs. Stoddart? Why didn't you just raise a civil action? Take your husband to court.
Court? That's a laugh. What chance would I have in court against him and his tame lawyer? Raise an action against Gregor and the Pie Man? Oh, he must be joking.
The Pie Man?
That's what they call him, Mr. Montgomery.
Call who? Who are you talking about?
Gregor's greasy little friend and erstwhile lover. That's who. Simple Simon Murray.
Pie Man. PM.
This is the end, son. This is the end of everything.
No, it isn't, Greg. You'll get over it. You've got over these things before.
Over it? No, you don't understand. Margie was my last chance. My last real chance.
Last real chance of what? You're not making any sense.
Do you think I like the life I've had to lead? My God, the number of times I've wished I were dead. Squalid little... Margie could have saved me from all that. For the first time, I really felt...
For the first time? Is that how you feel? You were freezing me out, Greg. Margie was freezing me out. You're upset now, that's understandable. A shock to the system, all right. But sometimes we need a shock. And in time, you'll come to realize it was for the best.
The best?
Margie was an illusion, Greg. Face up to it. Margie was a mirage. Good God, do you think you could have been happy with her? Some sort of normal, eh? Margie was an uptight control freak. And you're the only one that couldn't see it. That's your problem, Greg. You've never had any taste or judgment. That's why you need me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, come on, Greg, get wise. Margie would never have made you happy. She'd never have fulfilled you any more than Joyce did.
Joyce?
At least Joyce made some attempt to understand. At least Joyce recognized your needs, turned a blind eye. My God, the woman was a saint. Isn't that ridiculous? Saint Joyce. Well, I know what I would have done in her place. Yes, and I'd do it again. I suppose Joyce loved you, really. Love. It's a curious thing, isn't it?
Simon.
You remember Amsterdam, Greg? Year after we graduated, 65, wasn't it?
That was a very long time ago.
Oh, for you it was, yes. For you, that's all in the past. Life on another planet. Loyalty's never been your ace card, has it? But I haven't forgotten. For me, those were the most wonderful 2 months of my entire life.
Simon, please. I've changed, can't you understand? I'm not the same person I was then. I'm not like that.
You're not like that anymore. Oh, don't make me laugh, Greg, please. Do you think I didn't know about your call girls and your rent boys and your oh-so-discreet affairs? Of course I knew. So did Joyce. The only people who didn't know were your bloody voters. And how long do you think it would have been before Margie...
Simon, I loved Margie. And she loved me.
No, she didn't, Greg. I hate to do this to your lover, but really, you must come down to earth. Margie Mellors was not a nice person.
That's it, Simon. I can't take any more of this. I'm leaving.
Greg, she deserved everything she got. She had it coming to her.
How can you say that? You're mad.
For God's sake, see, then she'd have destroyed you.
I'm going.
No, no, Greg. No, no.
What the hell are you trying to do?
No, no, you listen to this, whether you like it or not. Margie didn't love you, Greg. She didn't love anybody. I'll tell you what she loved. Finding out people's secrets and telling them to the world. She was planning to ruin some friends of ours, Greg. Ruin some brilliant careers. I tried to talk her out of it. Even Annabelle tried. But she wouldn't listen, would she? No. No, the bitch wouldn't listen. She had first-class information, she said. And she was going to use it. That's why I stopped her.
You did. You killed Margie.
Yes. Yes, it was me. I didn't want to use the gun, Greg. Believe me, I didn't. I thought I would need to use it, but in the end, I had no choice. And as it happened, the burglary gave me the perfect opportunity. And the perfect cover.
Oh, my God.
What have you done?
What have you done?
Hey! Open up, please! I did it for you, Greg. I told her about you. I thought that would stop her. Do you know what she did? She laughed. Oh, well, she said, bang goes that night. But she said... That's how much she cared about you. That's why I shot her, Greg. Because she didn't love you. I shot her and I let the butler take the blame.
Somebody, we know you're in there!
Simon! Simon, what have you done?
Simon, Murray. I am arresting you on a charge of murder and I must warn you that anything you say will be taken down and may be used in evidence. Do you understand?
Malcolm, you're home at last.
Polly, you're still here?
Of course I am. We're going out, aren't we?
Out?
You promised to take me out to dinner.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm sorry, it's been a long day.
I bought you a present.
Oh? What's this?
Open it and find out.
Oh, well. That's a really nice shirt.
You like it? It's real silk.
Yeah, it's lovely. Oh, what's this made of, Pauline?
Does it need to be in aid of anything?
Oh, Pauline.
I saw it in Mark, and I just felt how nice he'd look in it.
Yeah. It's lovely. Very smart. Thanks.
Don't mention it, Malcolm.
Just one thing, Pauline.
What's that?
Do us both a favour and don't get too fond of me, eh? You know what I mean? Just don't get too fond of me.
In The Good Thief, the part of Annabelle was played by Sybil Winthrop, Major Weir by Simon Scott, D.S. Sussex by Jake Darcy, and D.I. Donoghue by Crawford Logan. W.P.C. Elka Willems was played by Eliza Langland, Dr. Reynolds by Paul Young, D.C. Abernethy by Andrew Conlon, and Pauline by Kate Kearney. D.C. Montgomery was played by Stuart Macquarie, Stoddart by Robin Thompson, D.C. King by Liam Brennan, and Murray by Finlay MacLean. Joyce Stoddart was played by Marianne Reed, Alistair by Andrew Fairley, and Joe Simpson by James Bryce. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Good Thief was written by Donald Campbell and directed on location in Glasgow and in our Edinburgh studios by Hamish Wilson.